Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Here's this week's scripture reading and sermon.
The scripture reading for today is from Luke 13, verses 6 through 9, the parable of the barren fig tree. And this is the parable of rest and growth. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. I love that parable. I do have one confession to make. Each year when we see the themes produced by Sanctified Arts Company that comes up with our worship themes that we love so much during Advent and Lent, every year when they release what the new themes are, I think, gosh, this is going to be perfect. They just have this innate ability to know exactly where we're going to be. I don't know if any other church that uses them feels that way, but I feel that way every time. And this year, the theme of everything in between, it fits for us in a season of change. This is really the first chance that I have had to see you all and to speak to you all as a congregation since a video went out to you on March the 7th where I shared my news for a new call that I've been discerning for several months now. And I had to laugh at God when I became clear on how the Spirit was moving and when I realized how that would line up with the season of Lent. And then when I remembered what the theme would be for this season of Lent, I had to laugh at God again. Not in a disrespectful way, but in the same way that I think Sarah must have laughed at God when she learned that her 90-something-year-old womb was going to bear a child. It's the kind of laughing at God that says, "You can't be serious, God." But then over time, as the news settles, it becomes a, "Wow, look at God." So somewhere in between those kinds of things is where I've been living lately. Somewhere in between laughter and tears. Somewhere in between belief and disbelief, excitement and grief. That's the emotional roller coaster or pendulum that I have been on. And I wonder if you are too. I don't like to use this time in the pulpit to talk about myself a whole lot, unless it's a silly story about a time when I messed up. But I do think that this is a moment that calls for a different kind of vulnerability, and I feel like this is a moment in which we need to be honest with each other about what's happened, about what is happening, and about what might happen down the road. So if you'll allow me that privilege today, that departure from the norm, I believe that with an honest and vulnerable examination of self, and by self I mean Chrissy, and I mean you individually, and I mean this congregation as a whole, our beloved church. I think if we are honest and vulnerable with one another today, we might just find that the Spirit of God and the Word of God in this 13th chapter of Luke, that somewhere in between all of that stuff, God might meet us here and offer us a word of hope and encouragement, which I think is what we need today. I have always loved that short parable from Luke's gospel that Joanne read just a moment ago. Maybe it's because I love parables in general. I think that they are beautifully complex. They have endless possibilities for interpretation and for application for our lives. And as C.H. Dodd said, they tease our minds awake. They leave us with sufficient doubt. They make us question and wonder. And if we've learned anything about one another these past 6 years, I hope you have learned that waking up, questioning, and wondering are three of my favorite theological postures. But this parable is a little bit extra because it is about plants. And I love plants, especially figs. I can relate to the person in the parable today with the vineyard because figs are my favorite fruit, and I love them. You know, you slice a fig and put it on a cracker with a little bit of room temperature goat cheese, and I lose all self-control. I don't know about you. It's really good. About 5 years ago, we purchased a fig tree from Josh Burton's Figville Vineyard. We planted it in our backyard and watched, and we waited as the winter sun illuminated its spot, you know, full sun in February. So we planted the fig tree there and watched the winter sun as it reached the branches of the fig tree. But then when spring came and all the other trees around it started filling in their leaves, we noticed that they were stealing the sun from our fig tree. We began to worry about it. But we watched, and it grew over time, and like Pastor April said just a minute ago, it grew really tall. So now this fig tree is like 12 feet tall in the backyard, but it hasn't ever produced a single fig. So every year we have a conversation. Should we cut it down? Or maybe we should try to dig it up, but I think we're both scared of how wide the roots might be at this point. So every year we just leave it. And we appreciate the beauty of its presence in our yard, the beauty of its leaves, and the shade that it also provides to a new spot in the yard. But there's more that demands our attention this morning with this parable. It is about a fig tree, but it's a parable, right? And so I'm convinced that it's not only about a fig tree. I suspect it's just as much about a landowner with hopes and dreams and expectations about everything that's going to come from the fig tree. And I suspect it's also about a gardener who has their hands covered in dirt like all gardeners do. A gardener who understands the delicate nature of nature itself and the ebb and flow of God's created order and how all of that stands in stark contrast to the expectations of everybody else. But I also suspect, this is maybe why I love the parable so much, I also suspect this parable is a parable about manure. I love the way Joanne said that a minute ago. I suspect it's about manure because that's just not a word that shows up a lot in the Bible. I'm serious. But here, it seems to be the activating ingredient. Just like the yeast that the woman works into the bread in that short parable. Here, it's the manure that is the activating ingredient, which ultimately, I think, as the parable implies, is the tree's last chance at producing something edible. If the manure doesn't do it, then the landowner has permission to cut it down. So I think it's fair to say that this is also a parable about manure. But considering all the options and looking at the parable as a whole unit, I think today, for us, this is a parable about life. And a parable about life lived in between rest and growth. Yes, I think this is a parable about living in the gray area. about being on an emotional roller coaster or a pendulum swinging constantly between grief and joy and excitement and fear and laughter and tears, which also means this is a parable about every season that life offers, including rest and growth, are key words for today. Both kinds of seasons are required, as is all the space between them. Now, I know that we raised our hands as adults when April asked who likes taking a nap. I did. Who likes rest? I do. But the truth is, we live in a world where growth and production are praised above all other values, even for nap-loving adults. We want our businesses to grow. We want our own wealth to grow. We want our intellect to grow. We want our families to grow. We even want our churches to grow. So much so that we base a lot of our decisions, if we aren't careful, you know, decisions whether or not to do programs or interventions or make statements or have particular styles of worship or music. We base our decisions not on what is the right thing to do or what God is calling us to do, but on whether or not we think it will cause the church to what? There you go. And there's a very practical reason for that, because the truth is, we're telling truth today, right? If the church doesn't grow, what will happen? It will die. If a business doesn't grow, it won't be in business very long. If our wealth doesn't grow, we're going to need to make some good friends who will take care of us in retirement, right? It matters. If our minds do not grow, then we're going to be stuck in an alternate reality while the rest of the world has moved on. If our families don't grow, we run the risk of losing the stories of our heritage, not to mention all those keepsakes great-grandma wanted you to pass down, whether or not they're useful or important to you. And if our churches don't grow, they die. And then we are left to wonder, who will provide respite for the people we care so deeply about? Who will grow the food in the mission garden? Who will teach the ESL classes? Who will build the ramps or provide construction repair after the hurricanes blow through? Who will raise funds to support global missions? Who will shine a light from this particular corner on lead mine and sawmill roads? Who will bear witness to the expansive and inclusive love of God, if not us? Can you feel the tension there? And still we are reminded of the God of the universe who worked diligently. Who worked diligently at the dawn of creation, growing and expanding and creating and bearing witness to the goodness of all of creation. We are reminded that after 6 days, the God who did that hard, committed, generative work, do you remember what that God did? God rested. Later on, the goodness of that rest became known as a critical part of Sabbath. And then when the Ten Commandments were given to Moses, keeping Sabbath was part of those Ten Commandments. It seems like God is saying, I know you want to work and grow and produce and reap the fruits of all your labor all the time, but sometimes you just have to stop. Sometimes you have to stop so that you can rest, so that you can play, so that you can look at the stars and stand in awe of everything that God has done and is doing and is going to continue to do in the future. Rest is needed to reset our hearts and minds and spirits so that all of that can be ready for the future. You see, when we are working nonstop, saying yes to all the invitations. I love that line in the confession today. When we are working nonstop, maxing out our body's abilities and pushing our minds to the limit, we don't have any space for anything else to come in, including the Holy Spirit. I've been reading a book lately on minimalism. We're probably going to have to downsize, so I'm trying to get my mind around that. So I've been reading a book on minimalism, and there's this one chapter in this very prescriptive and practical book that just struck me as super spiritual. In this one chapter, it's on minimalist design, and the author says something like, when we are creating our spaces in our homes, when we're designing our rooms and placing things in different areas, we're often guilty of filling every single spot. But minimalists recognize a commonly forgotten design element. And that element is open space. A blank spot on the wall. A space on the floor without something sitting on it. An opportunity for inspiration to enter into the space left open and do what inspiration does best. Revive, renew, and restore. Reading that chapter reminded me of what I already felt in my own spiritual life, something I think we might all have been feeling as a congregation for a little while. You know, these last 6 years that we've shared together, they have been wonderfully full of growth and transformation. And I would like to point out, transformation is really a spiritual word for change. And I like it because nobody likes change. But everybody likes transformation. So these 6 years have been full of change and transformation. And it has taken a lot of work. A lot of work for a lot of people. All of you. And let's be honest about how difficult that work has been. Just for a minute. When you called me here, it was not easy for you or for me. But we committed to one another and we worked hard to bridge divides, to rebuild trust, and most importantly, to take care of one another. That was our most urgent and holy work, and we did it really well. And then we started to get our feet under us, and COVID shut down everything in person we had ever done. But together we found ways to persevere, and we labored hard together. I think some people took a break during COVID, but Greystone Baptist Church did not take a break. None of us did. Subsequent years have included governance and budget changes so that we could fit and prepare for our new reality, so we could be honest with each other about who we were and the resources we had. We've brought on new staff. We have redefined leadership roles. We have welcomed new members. And we have grown in so many ways. Just count the number of children who gather on these steps in the morning. What a gift. In the last 2 years in particular, we have taken intentional steps to grow our understanding of how welcome and hospitality for LGBTQ folks might need to be better articulated, better explained, better explored. And so we spent time growing and learning and challenging former theologies and interpretations of Scripture that we were carrying with us. We did the work to see if the Spirit of God was trying to show us something new, transformation. And from that good work, our deacons and Spirit of Justice group have been crafting some language to clearly state our welcome. I shared that with you last October in a video that was sent out, and the deacons have been working on that ever since. Later on today, you're going to be receiving an email containing the final draft, and in a few weeks, we will have an opportunity as a congregation to affirm and accept and embrace the words of welcome that so many have been working on for so long. We have been hard at work. Hard at work. And that work has transformed our congregation just as it has transformed our hearts. Which leads me to the end. As I reflect on all of that hard work, I wonder if on the other side of the work, even as we prepare ourselves for a season of unwanted transition, maybe, transition, or dare we say transformation, I wonder if we might first need to take a minute and rest, or play, or give ourselves permission to sit and look at the stars, to awe and to wonder at all that God has done. Like the fig tree that rested from her production for a notable season, can we all allow ourselves time to rest and play and wonder and just be? I know I need it. And I bet you do too. Oh, about the manure. After the news of my call came out, some of you reached out to me and said, I'll paraphrase, well, crap. Maybe the parable offers us a word of hope in life's oh crap moments. That's the best I've got. But I do know that it is often precisely in a divine appointment or a divine application of manure that new life starts to sprout. So in between all the rest and growth and everything else too, let's not forget to have a little bit of faith. Because I suspect, no, I know, it's more than suspect, that God is working here, right now, creating something beautifully new. Amen.